Monday the 14th.
Roll call, we have both evening governance. We have one, two, three, four, five, we're all here. Approval of the minutes of the previous meeting, did everyone receive those?
Yes.
If so.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Poole, seconded by Supervisor Frederick. Approve the minutes from August 3rd. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Youth governance?
Aye.
Well, you guys weren't here, but that's fine. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, I really have nothing, it's very active. I mean, I'd have a lot that I could say, but you're gonna hear it all from the staff here, but John's people have been very, very busy. I see the highway department out by me and out by, in a couple other locations today, and they're swamped. Here I saw guys hauling from Burlington the other day in the rain. They must be stocking up for Highway 50.
Yeah, they're stockpiling gravel and...
It was pouring rain, luckily. I mean, they were flipping all from Peters.
Yep.
Truck after truck after truck.
Yeah, there's some new pit locations in the Burlington area they've been hauling from.
And well, the only thing I really want to comment on, and I was talking about it before we started here, was the Oktoberfest. I hope a couple people got out there, but it was really kudos to John and his staff, and it's a damn shame because the community takes big credit for it, but Couch County Parks was running that thing, and they didn't even have people running a beer tent. We had our guys staffing that, right? So, I mean, Heidi's Bakery and people bragging in the paper, but if it weren't for the county parks, that thing wouldn't have been. And it's become a big event. I hope the community gets more involved to get a couple of those businesses that are in town to help out a little bit more. But boy, John's people, and man was out there, and like I said, the parks guys all had their little German hats on and were working, so. They look good, too. They look good. That's all I have. Any committee members?
As good as can be expected.
If not, we'll move on to citizens' comments. Any citizens that wish to speak would have 5 minutes to address the committee on anything, not only on our agenda, but anything that pertains to this. Seeing no citizens' comments, we'll move on. Division reports, updates, actions. We'll start with parks this evening.
Hey, Brindle Nature Center, there's nothing to report there except for that their Fall Fun Fest and the Bird City celebration will be there this Saturday. If you've never heard Jenny Tunkey sing, they're performing in the bandstand that day, so you might want to show up. You know Jenny's in a rock and roll band?
No, I didn't.
Yes, she is. So,
Grateful Deadliners?
It's her main job.
Grateful Deadliners.
It's her main job.
Yeah. So,
she's really good.
I am that serious.
Really?
Yeah, they're good. Yeah. They're fun to listen to.
Christ, I would have to put on
her. We saw them at Fusion that night, right?
Yep.
This is at the Pringle? Mm-hmm. When?
This Saturday. This Saturday from 11 to 3 at the Pringle Fall Fun Fest. Hay rides, Falconer, all sorts of stuff out there.
They have beer.
Oktoberfest, again, was last Saturday. There's a few pictures here. We got to pass them around for everybody. That went great. Had a good attendance, no glitches, everything worked good. Fall Wheel Ride is coming up on October 3rd. I've got the flyer attached for that. Katy Park, I would think by now that the contractor's been out there and applied the second round of herbicide to the Phragmites. I'll have to check with them. Silver Lake Park, now down at the beach, the IT division installed Wi-Fi, and they will be doing that at PEPS probably next year. On the current projects, the Kemper parking lot, 66th Street renovation, and the lighting, the landscaper was less than stellar, and you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I probably would have gave them a 2. And we couldn't get them to come back and make it right, so I actually hired a different landscaper, and I'm deducting the cost of that from the money that we're paying out on that contract. There's a few issues there with the lights and a few other smaller things yet too that need to be tidied up. In your packet, the Fox River storage building, that roof is done. I included a picture of that. The Emerald Ash Borer tree removal at the two golf courses in that Pets Park and Fox River Parks. If the weather would permit it, we want to try and start the week of Thanksgiving, but probably more realistically, it's probably going to be about mid-December. Corba just started again this weekend, working on the Silver Lake Mountain Bike Trails. They pretty much take a break in the summer and go do their thing and then group back up and go back to work. They've got, I don't know, 4 more miles to go or so out there before they're complete. Back to the cannon, we checked in on that again, and we're waiting for some lady in Michigan to tell us where to go get it, to pick it up for the memorial at Pets. It's dealing with the federal government, so. There's nothing really new to report on that building, the old Bugman building at Pets. The Summers Fire Department is still working on scheduling that for a burn. I should have heard last Friday on the grant status for the Katie Rose and Mountain Bike Trails, because I heard that the rankings for the stewardship grants were done, but I haven't heard, and I know I have Samantha Kirkman will let me know right away if she hears something before that. Her office is that pretty close to. There's a picture in there of a guy doing some stonework that I passed around. That what they're doing is they're building the base for a civilian conservation corps statue out at Fox River Park. The statue is standing in the Fox River Park. That was purchased with a grant. That was 100% funded by the Cross Foundation. The Rokan Trailbreaker, which we purchased for grooming mountain bike trails, is here. And I don't know, I'm hoping everybody saw it, but Matt started a newsletter, and I attached the first one he did. The second one is due to come out
this week
on what's going on in the parks and with events and other things. So a little thing on history. That's all I have.
I was very impressed by the newsletter. I'm sure everyone was that presented quite an addition to what we've done. I mean, that's fantastic. I don't know how we get that out to other people.
What our plan is if we go online with a reservation system, we're able to obtain email addresses from anyone that reserves a facility or picket site, and hopefully we can send out email blasts with that newsletter in conjunction to anyone that has a reservation.
Yeah, maybe we could get it published in like the west of the eye and the Kenosha News somehow. You know, it's Kenosha News does, inserts on, get out and everything. And, it's a nice little article that you put together there. Very well done.
Yeah, man, did a nice job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments for John?
Thank you.
Oh, Leah. We have Leah. We have the appointment there that we have to do yet. For the Pringle and Major Center Board, we have a county board member that serves on the board, and Leah has agreed to serve, and she'll be succeeding Aaron Decker. So if everyone has had a chance to look at that, knows what Pringle Nature Center does and why we would like someone on that board, and we could have a approval from this committee.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Grady, seconded by Supervisor Frederick, to approve the appointment of Leah Blau to the Pringle Nature Center Board. Any discussion? Not all those in favor, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
So that'll go to the county board then. Thank you. Golf
divisions next. Well, we just wrapped up with the Kenosha County Executive Cup last Thursday, and it was a great event for us. We had 127 participants. We had a little bit of rain to start the day, but after the third hole, it cleared up, and everybody had a really good day. We had lots and lots of prizes and raffles and 10 under par one, and had a lot of people really have a good time, all in support of our junior golf program, which really wrapped up well this year too. You know, the caddy program at Petrifying Springs had really great reviews. All the junior golf programs that we had, the 8-week clinic and the junior golf league, the PGA Junior League. Brightdale won again for the third straight year, and we had two wrap-up parties on August 9th. We had about 44 people attend the junior clinic wrap-up, and we had about 50 people attend the Caddy and Leadership Academy wrap-up party. So both of those events really went over well. Sorry to say again, we had a food and beverage manager resign. We thought we had somebody hired for that position, and they did decline our offer. And so Scott Driscoll from Brightdale is now currently running, you know, both facilities for us. So we're struggling to get through the season, but hopefully everything will wrap up nicely. We still have quite a few events coming up. We have the Halloween Horrors, we have the Brightdale Open, we have Arkish Open at Petrifying Springs, which is our second biggest outing of the year. So all have food, have a lot of outings. I mean, we're doing very well, you know, as far as rounds go this year. Expenses, we're holding trying to hold to a level last year. We're up a little bit maybe in payroll, but other than that, everything else looks really good. So we're hoping that we have some good fall weather to finish up. A couple of projects that we're working on. We're still hoping that the highway department has enough time to fit us in for the maintenance shop road and yard at Petrifying Springs. We are getting quotes right now on renovating the deep well at Brightdale, and hopefully we'll be doing that in October once we don't need that well anymore to fill the lake. And we completed all the equipment and installing the new fence around the wastewater treatment plant at Brightdale, and that turned out really well. There still is a meter on the wastewater treatment plant that probably needs to be replaced yet, but all of the other mechanical parts were replaced, so that's good. But overall, yeah, we've been having a great season. Everybody's really been enjoying it. I mean, the compliments keep coming about the conditions and the service that people are getting, and you know, I'm real happy to report that you know, there's a lot of positives at the golf courses this year.
Anything for Dan? I ran into a grumpy guy at the Oktoberfest, and he works at another golf course. He's a retired highway worker. Jerry knows probably what I'm talking about. Him. And he was happy with the golf course.
Oh, good. Good deal.
How many beers did he
have? Sorry, I'm not supposed to.
Oh, he was eating some strudel or something. He wasn't angry. His name is Al. Thank you very much, Dan. Yeah, all I've heard is good things on
great
golf courses this year. This, what are we just not paid enough for the position for the
right.
Running the.
And that and benefits, you know, it's difficult to fill that position without enough wages and benefits, yeah.
There's no benefit.
Right. It's a seasonal position.
Seasonal position. So I know, I understand that we had somebody, but they would have had to leave like a $42,000 a year job, and they were interested, but
with benefits, right?
Right, yeah, right. So the person that we have at Brightdale that does it, how can they handle doing that?
Well, it's they have had the whole season to train the staff over there, and you know we're. They're a seasonal employee also currently, right. And you know, luckily his wife is a teacher, so you know, he has good benefits through that, but you know, we're fighting hours with him. You know, I mean, he's been, you know, on alert that his hours are getting shorter and shorter of what he can work. I mean, like Thursday, he worked 14 hours. Saturday, he worked 14 hours because we had five outings over at, or three outings at Brightdale, two at Petrifying Springs, and he prepared, you know, Friday for both of them, and then was at Brightdale all day, and we had just staff members, you know, running the stuff at Petrifying Springs.
We can't stick off these old guys at Petrifying Springs.
Right.
You know, and they're expecting quality.
Right. Yeah.
It's a problem. You know, I ran into this. I talked about it briefly on the county board. This year, when I got short on some projects, I used to be able to just put an order in with the job center, and I'd get calls right away. And I'd hire, you know, never a bunch of people, but I'd hire like two, you know, and I'd get phone calls. This year, I put the order in, and there's a 4 or 5 day hold for service people. So you don't expect a lot of calls yet. Then all of a sudden, I just got a couple. And that is because Amazon's starting people at $14. Uline is very hard to get into, but they're hiring. And so our climate has been so successful that a small businessman is having a hard time hiring people. So you folks trying to hire somebody, now, you get a specific person whose wife's a teacher. Thank you. That's very nice, because then that guy maybe can afford to screw around with us. But otherwise, who's going to? So that's why I was very aggressive in supporting a wage study that we did that maybe didn't work out that well, and there was a lot of resent against it. But we do, in key positions, when we're offering a quality product like Brightdale, and especially Petrifying Springs, where I think the people are even pickier, we have to have something, and we have to be able to pay it. That's going to be a big problem, and it's, I'm hoping that people are taking notice, because they have four in a row, and all decent people.
Right.
But when something better comes along, they can't work for $12 an hour.
Right.
Or what is the position pay?
14.
14.
Yep.
But no benefits.
But we're really getting pushback from Scott, too, because, you know, due to Act 10 and everything, his wife's benefits are deteriorating, and, you know, so he's starting to say, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I have to do, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's going to be a trouble position, too, unless we do something for that.
Well, we may have to create a hybrid position, you know, as a committee or as a staff, and submit that to the county executive, and, you know, maybe not at this budget time is already. But in order to offer a quality experience for people, you have to have quality food, beverage, and we tried again as a committee and as a staff to maybe bring somebody in to do that, and that hasn't worked yet. So,
and we're working on something for the budget this year. We're working with Jim, with the county exec, to see if we can hopefully address the situation, because it's not going to get better. It's just going to get worse.
Right.
So we need to address it somehow, some way.
Yeah, because I can picture a thing at Pets not going over well. You know, you said the second largest outing, and say they can't give it the attention it needs. That could be a rough few phone calls for somebody. So,
well, Dennis, just on that same thought, you know, with the way the debt service is going with the courses, and that being basically a thing of the past, as we speak about now, you'd think with budget considerations, we would be able to hire a quality person or two for these positions, because you're more capable, we don't have the debt service to be concerned about. So you think there's got to be budgetary room there somewhere.
We're hoping to propose something in the budget. We're working on it right now.
Just so some of these committee members and youth and governance don't even know, I know how the parks people are held to part-time. So is it the same standard for part-time for you?
Yeah, it's we just this morning got a memo from Bob Riedel, the HR guy, reminding us that Scott is coming up on He's at 1,300 and some hours.
1,560 hours.
1,560 is the limit, but he's at like 1,300 or something right now. And so kind of a reminder, like, you got to keep an eye on that because, and so we're going to meet actually with him tomorrow. You've got an interview with another food and beverage potential helper tomorrow.
Just a
helper type person. And then we're going to talk with Bob about that specific issue. What is the worst case scenario here? If we got to keep the operation going, what are the options? Because that's in light of the Obamacare kind of 1,560, that's where that hours limit's coming from. Right. So
I just wanted the committee to hear that and to know, because I've been aware of other people working for the county that they hit that 1,560, that's that. Yeah. Parks had part-time, probably the best guy out there. And they told him, last winter they needed him for plowing and things. So in July, he was done. And now, I even called him when I had a couple big projects going. I'm thinking, okay, he's laid off. He could use some work. He already picked up with a fence company. And last I asked the parks guys, they said they don't think he's coming back. And he was such a work, so conscientious, such a good guy. But he was at that, he had hit the offer. When you get somebody good, that's a big problem. And if this guy's at 1,300 or something, and we got a couple months yet.
Right. Yeah. So I'm hoping we're going to be able to come up with something that's going to have us limp over the goal line this year. Because we're in a good spot. We're in a really good spot. But like Dan said, we've got a very high profile at Arkish. It's a very high profile event. And there's a number of other high profile events yet this year. So somehow we got to keep things glued together so we can get over the goal line and hopefully address it in a more robust way for next year, so in the budget. So.
Right. Okay.
Question.
Yes.
1,560 hours, you divide that by 40, is 39 weeks. So how many hours are they working? Are people working per week then?
It's golf, so they... Go ahead, Dan. You can.
Yeah, sometimes it's over 40. Yeah, sometimes it's 55-60. Like I said, that those 3 days, Thursday for the county executive, even Wednesday, you know, to prepare for it, Thursday, Friday, and then our big day on Saturday, it was, you know, at least 60, maybe 65 this week. You know, I mean, it's a huge week. I mean, it's a huge push, you know, right now. I mean, to capitalize on everybody's demand, you know, and especially with the short staff. I mean, you're trying to staff the food and beverage with younger, you know, seasonal part-time people, you know, and it comes to school time, see you later, you know, and so it falls back on the manager, you know. And it's not just even in food and beverage, it's all across my operations that we're really, you know, fighting, you know, keeping good people, you know. I mean, like you said, with the higher wages coming from Amazon and Uline and other places, you know, I mean, we have a lot of really good people, and that's why there is such positive feedback and comments and momentum at the golf courses. And it's not just even food beverage, it's a lot of different areas that, you know, we pushed really hard the last 7 years to balance the budget and make a profit, and we've been falling behind and behind, you know, on our wages and you know, and our expenses just to get to this area. And, you know, this year looks, you know, hopefully it'll be the fourth year in a row that we're profitable, and looks promising for that. But now it's time to, you know, make sure that we continue down the right path and keep these good people to make us stay profitable, make us stay, you know, where we're at and growing. So, yeah, it's... Scott definitely works like he tries to work 30 hours in March and November, you know, when we're ramping up and you know, shutting down. But in the peak of the season, a lot of times 55, 60 is hours that he's working.
Okay, thank you. Just trying to figure that out.
Anything else for Dan? All right, Dan, thank you very much. Positive report.
Thank you.
Mike?
Mostly I've got project
updates, and I'll start with the focus on energy one first. Spreadsheet that you have is the energy team project status list. Anything in red is a change from last meeting. Down at the bottom, you'll see there's three buildings, three lines, public safety building, Molinaro, and pretrial. And those three projects are for completion of conversion to LED lighting for those three buildings. I have had those dates for start and stop about a month earlier, and not a real important project, got pushed to the back burner, and now we're right in the middle of it. So as of probably Friday, those three buildings will be complete. And that ends the grant money that we got almost a year ago to do those three buildings, so it would be nice to cross those off the list. Those are the only changes to that sheet. Other projects at KCDC, we have the variable frequency drive installation project. We were supposed to get delivery of the VFDs today. We did not. I'm expecting them tomorrow. Once we get those, our electrician in-house will install them, and then we can schedule a control contractor to come in and finish it up. I'm hopeful that it won't take more than the middle of October to do that. At pre-trial, we're renovating two padded holding cells. Not a lot to report on that. It's basically in the bidding stage. We should have some movement on that pretty quick. At the safety building, we're replacing roof exhaust fans, 23 of them. And that work started on last Wednesday, and it was completed Friday. So that one is done, and will be on the list next time. Pretty much it.
Thank you, Mike. We'll move on to Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Building demolition projects. The Brookside, the house at Brookside that was county bought, we have tentatively scheduled for beginning demolition on Friday this week. And we've also given the family a heads up. They want to be there to watch it come down. So, at that time, we scheduled at the old Zanani property. They replaced all the sidewalks and curbs. They had to come out. The city required that the aprons come out, and that the sidewalks and curbs be replaced. So that's taken. That's been taken care of, and the grass and the parkways will be taken care of the same time that they do. Questions of the administration building parking lot improvement project. Everything is going pretty well on schedule. If you stop by, you've seen that the rough elevations, everything are done, and we've got about 50% of the curbs concrete work in, and we'll have their scheduled Wednesday for the rest of the concrete. Any questions? And Brookside Door and Wander Management Project. We passed all the state inspections, and the state required us to have a city fire electrical inspection. So those were completed and we passed.
Great. I'm just going to ask Frank, so just so the committee has a general, what's the tentative target date for a KCAB completion for that project? Weather dependent.
Yeah, weather dependent. We should be wrapped up by mid-October. Before the snow flies, everybody will be parking their stuff.
Is that asphalt or concrete?
Asphalt.
Are the roofs all done on KCAB?
Yes, roofs all done on KCAB. We did the roof at KCAB with the exterior restoration. Right. So that was all part of that project.
So that's not sectoral, that's the entire roof was addressed in one swoop, not just a patchwork type.
No, it was part of the same thing we did at the courthouse where it, because when you redo the exterior and the parapet walls, right, everything, so that we did it all at once, so it was all kind of seamless and the entire envelope.
That's been good, no issues with that?
Kind no, of it's been solid. Okay. We did have some leaks on the old one. We used, this one we used a welded roof material on it. What that did, because it instead of using a tar to adhere it, we did the tar at the courthouse, and as we ran into, the tar smell will get into the building and cause some issues with employees. So, you know, we had complete lessons learned from that project. We said, okay, what can we do? Well, they had the welding technology that welded it together instead. Same warranties, everything like that.
Thank you.
Is that it, Frank? Anything else for Frank? This is going smoothly. Thank you, Frank. We'll move on to Mr. Simpson. I don't know why.
Got a few things. As you know, we provide contractual services to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation for maintenance on all the state trunk highways and I-94. And we had met with the supervision and management staff from the southeast region that's in charge of maintaining all of the state trunk highways and I-94. We had met earlier this spring, and they had indicated to us that they would like to see up to 4 additional employees working on the interstate and state trunk highways. We currently have 19 employees dedicated to those services. They'd like to see up to 23. I received the DOT's proposed allocation to Kenosha County for maintenance services in 2016, and it's a dollar figure that's significantly less than what we have this year. So they're not in sync. You know, they can't expect 4 additional people to provide services to them and reduce their budget for those services. So we're attempting to get together with them and try to get this resolved, but we're just going to have to see. I mean, time's short on our end. It significantly impacts our budget, the county's budget. Can significantly impact the tax levy, which obviously we're going to protect as we always do. So I'm not sure where this is going yet. They've not responded to a request to have a meeting to talk about it. So I think it's something that's we're gonna have some serious discussions about during the upcoming budget proceedings, unless we can get it resolved with the state. So just a little bit of a heads up on that. On the county side, projects are going well. We've completed the Highway N Des Plaines River Bridge was open to traffic, I guess it was about 2.5 weeks ago or so now. So that turned out real well. The paving projects, everything east of I-94 is completed. We started heading west. We completed Highway U. We're out on Highway P this week in the Twin Lakes and Powers Lake area. So things are proceeding along well in that area. We did receive work orders from both the town of Summers and the town of Wheatland to do paving in some of the sections of their roadways. So we definitely at some point in time would like to get in and get that work done. It's certainly a very good revenue source for us to be able to complete those type of projects. And we did receive from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation an additional project to shoulder all of Highway 50 from basically from Paddock Lake west to the Walworth County line, and being a four-lane divided highway, it's a big project, but again, it's an excellent source of revenue for us, so we will find a way to get that completed before the end of the year. Fortunately, shouldering is something that is not totally weather dependent. We can shoulder in some pretty nasty weather, so that likely will wait till the end of the towards the end of this year after the paving season is over. The business developments just keep coming. We're working on multiple large developments right now, both in Village of Pleasant Prairie and the Village of Summers. We've got, Uline alone has three large projects. They're expanding their, are building a new warehouse in Pleasant Prairie. They're building a new office building in Pleasant Prairie, and they have a proposed new distribution type building out, I guess it's actually in the city of Kenosha, but it's out west of I-94 between 142 and N. We've got the first industrial development that's going on at H&S. I've got three distribution buildings in West Park that are in one phase or another of being completed. And I just went to another meeting this afternoon in the Village of Pleasant Prairie where there's another manufacturing business that is looking at a site that's not yet determined whether they're going to locate here, but it just keeps coming, which is a good thing, but we are working very closely with those municipalities and the businesses to make sure that any traffic impacts are mitigated and have a minimum detrimental effects on the whole transportation system. And lastly, if anybody has any interest in a Wisconsin Department of Transportation improvement project at Highway 32 and 165 intersection, they are having a public involvement meeting on September 22nd from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Pleasant Prairie Renaissance School. That's located on Highway 165, just west of 31. I have all that information. I'd be happy to forward it to anybody that would like the details. As with many DOT projects, they don't move quickly. Their construction is proposed for the year 2020. So, but they are having a public involvement meeting now to get whatever input anybody might have. It basically involves reconstructing the intersection and signalizing it. So, be happy to send out information on that if there's any interest.
There's not much of refreshments at those meetings, Dennis.
They might have like pumpkin spice or something. Gary, just so everybody understands the state thing, because that's going to be a big deal. It's actually, if you're working at our level, it'd be like dealing with two different committees. So one is telling Gary or asking Gary, to put four more people on, which is a great thing because we can add four quality employees. We build a state. So we were preparing to put that in our budget for this year. Then the other wing of this agency came out and said, well, because Kenosha County basically is doing so well, our allocation from the state is cut by, what, $100-some thousand?
$103,000.
Right, $103,000. So we're being cut because our transportation system, everything is doing well here. They worked on a a formula that they do not share with the people that are asking us to improve and add to our highway crew. So that is why we're at a stalemate there. So we were all prepared for, you know, this was in preliminary budget numbers to be doing this, and now that we naturally can't. So that's a brief, simple explanation of it.
What does the 103,000 equate in the people?
One position. We will actually have to reduce the staff from 19 down to 18. So rather than adding four, we're going to be reducing one. The 103 consists partially of labor costs, partially of machinery costs, and partially of material costs. But the majority of it is personnel costs or labor costs. So it will equate to reducing by one staff. Our full-time equivalent, which in turn is going to actually reduce the level of service that we're going to be able to provide on the state system.
So that's somebody now have a conversation with their own hand, basically.
So just give us some background on this meeting. When you meet with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, as a county, is it just Kenosha County and UDOT, or is it Racine involved in other multiple counties as well when you're having these
meetings? Both. All the other counties, you know, basically, we all provide the same services. There's a formula that they use to determine how much each county's allocation should be. That formula can go up and down. The meetings that we're attempting to have with them now is just a one-on-one type meeting. And right now we're working with the region people, which is the southeast region of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. This funding allocation actually comes from their Madison office. So it's like Dennis says, it's two different.
The bean counters in Madison and the actual administrators for the work projects are in one.
Not in sync.
When was your meeting with them? When did that occur? How recently?
We're hoping we're going to get one.
No, the previous meeting you attended.
Oh, that was April.
Because, you know, you read the newspaper now, we're $17 million ahead of revenue projections for tax collections. So I think we're looking a little bit different playing field now than we were back in. No, but we applaud your efforts to go to bat. Kenosha County's not going to be on the hook for unfunded positions.
No, I mean it's always been our position to not subsidize work on the state or interstate, since it is their jurisdiction and their responsibility, and I intend to stick with that unless I'm directed otherwise.
Thank you. That's my question.
Thank you, Gary.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, buddy.
What is the activities of four people actually entail? Did they articulate that?
It involves the additional work required by the expansion of I-94 from the three lanes to the four lanes, all the new interchanges, for example, 50, 158, 142, all that is a significant amount of additional work that's required. And then the other factor is that we needed to increase our non-traditional hour service that we provide in non-traditional hours, and instead of just 7 to 3:30, the DOT needs more 18 to 24 hour service, particularly on the interstate, and we've never been in that position before. And the additional staff, in fact, our plans were to put probably three of those people on a second shift or third shift, just to provide those services, because to support all the additional development and business and the associated traffic volume and trucking, they don't operate on 7 to 3:30 schedule. They operate on-time schedule, which is 24 hours a day.
And does that impact equipment at all?
That's one of the reasons why we were going to put them on the second shift, at least initially, is then it does not impact, because the equipment available on first shift could be used on the second shift. If we were going to add them strictly to the same working hours as all the other employees, then yes, we would have to increase equipment. But we're trying to avoid that right now, but put it that way.
And you may be aware of it, but I went down E, and you know that's a beautiful road right now. Mm-hmm. With the exception of our friends at Canadian Pacific, that railroad crossing was just smooth as hell. They hit that thing, and I thought I went airborne, even at 40 or 45 right there. Okay. So you may want to just put that kind of, because we know how fast they work with regards to those railroad crossings.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody's let you know about that one. It's pretty beat up.
Yeah, we'll put that on the on the list of improvements.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one finishing thing. You know, we talk about expansion in Kenosha County where it's happening, and you know the industrial parks are certainly perking up with more business all the time. Where are we with County H and looking at certain segments of that being expanded to four lanes? Is that even on the horizon at all, or is that still not even being addressed?
Well, right now our focus is on Highway S from I-94 to 31, and we're doing that in phases. First phase between H and 31, we're working on the design part components of that project now. Then second phase would be from H to I-94. After that, Highway H is going to have to come next from a highway expansion standpoint.
But in real time, we're looking at probably now the latter part of this decade. We're looking at probably 2019 and beyond or something like that.
Well, it's going to be 2019 just to finish the first phase of Highway S, and then you're probably another 2 years maybe before we finish the second phase. So yeah, it's a very slow process on particularly on expansion projects. But Highway H is going to have to be looked at.
It's exponential in terms of its load these days.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Gary.
You're welcome.
Ray.
So update on the Brookside project. Continuing to work on construction level documents and specs. We've got weekly meetings, sometimes two or three meetings a week with architects, engineers, and the construction manager, just pulling stuff together, really getting into the details now. Goal remains to have all those documents bid ready end of October, beginning of November. As the work gets closer to fully developing those bid ready documents, we will be working on getting a package of updates to all the committees and the board, just so that everybody's aware before we actually go out to bid exactly what's it going to look like, how's it going to function, how are we going to actually facilitate the construction of the whole thing. So that'll be coming out pretty shortly here. That's it for the Brookside thing from an update standpoint, unless anybody's got any questions. Then in general, there's a few other projects that we're looking at. The lattice tower up on the public safety building, we did get our structural engineers to take a look and kind of forensically reconstruct how that foundation for that tower was put together. Working with some tower engineers, and we're gonna pull the whole package together to identify two things. One, if the load that's on there is safely on there, because there are some key communications equipment on there for the KPD, the Sheriff's Department, county fire and emergency government, and hopefully we're going to be able to come up with a way to even engineer some modifications so that it can accommodate some additional load, because I know that there is demand for some additional load on that tower. Good news was that the initial findings were that the thing is in really, really good shape. We did an ultrasonic and magnaflux test of the tower itself. There's virtually no rust, and it's a tubular structure. Virtually no rust inside it. That's really unheard of because the thing is 33, 34 years old. So that's where that's at. I'm hoping that actually we've got some money. We've got kind of a placeholder budget figure in the preliminary budget to actually do those modifications next year. Hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll have enough information so we can refine that before the thing is actually presented to the board. Pre-trial building, I haven't had a chance. The same structural engineers that were helping us on the lattice tower, next up to bat for them is to do an analysis of what's going on with the pre-trial, if anything to be concerned about with regard to some of the superficial cracks that we're seeing in the precast concrete. So that's going to be next up to bat. Probably should have that complete, I'm not going to say by next meeting, but sometime in October I think we'll have that analysis done. And we'll know if we've actually got something seriously to be concerned about or not. Emergency power update. I've got the plan pretty well drafted. Still plan to have, that was, if you guys remember, the when we lost power a couple weeks in a row at a couple key facilities. There wasn't a real, it was a pretty clunky communications process that happened internally and with We Energies. So we've been working both with We Energies, Wendy's helped me a lot actually, and getting information from them and getting them on the right page. It was amazing that in their system, certain buildings that have existed for a long, like they didn't know that the 911 dispatch center was located in the public safety building. That wasn't in their, wasn't on their radar. So in their building hierarchy internally, that was not a key building. So we've gotten a lot of those things straightened out. And I'm hoping to have everything straightened out by the end of September yet. Then we got some leadership training, ongoing leadership training. Mike's involved in it, and all of the first-line supervisors in all the public works departments with a trainer from Gateway. That's been an interesting journey as we make the transition from, even though Act 10 has been in place for 3 years, culturally, the county had a very unionized kind of mentality for decades, and now getting supervision in a little more enlightened kind of approach so we can be more productive and kind of break some of the shackles of how we've done stuff for decades. It's been interesting, as any of these kind of training things are interesting, Mike can smile, it's been a very interesting journey. But the bottom line is we're starting to make progress now. There was quite a bit of baggage we had to work through to kind of break some of the mindsets of some folks and some concerns. So we're starting to make progress. I think we've got three more training scheduled for this first group of first line leaders, and then we're actually going to be starting some higher level leadership training for department and division managers and kind of higher level supervisors, again with that whole thing in mind, so we start to look at things in a more let's say 21st century mindset and how we're going to manage things going forward. Those are the key things that I was going to update the committee on. So there's a lot going on at Public Works, but most of it's pretty good.
Yes.
One thing I mentioned last meeting was we're taking a look at all these different highway projects with the state and with the county and all that. And sort of getting with us doing the budget with the CIP, is there any way we can get an idea of when all this is going to happen? You know, when Highway 50 is going to happen, when 142 is going to happen, sort of, so we can get an idea of all these different projects coming our way?
We can put together a map based on the information we've got from the DOT, because most of the stuff you just referenced, Supervisor Frederick, are state projects.
Right, but so how the state projects will then play into what we're doing as well, and sort of get an idea of the whole picture.
Absolutely, sure.
Yeah, that's readily available.
Just a question.
Yes.
Public safety building, specifically 911. When we did the reconfiguration of that building, I recall we have a large diesel generator on the bottom portion. It's got a big stack up and so forth. Was that called into play where it was needed during this past go around?
Yeah. That building actually has two generators. There's a massive one that we installed with the safety building addition in 2010, and then the original generator as well. And the original generator, if I remember correctly, still provides backup power to most of the inhabited section of the building, the jail area itself, whereas the new one, if I remember correctly, provides most of the to the data center, the 911 center, all the critical function, and a lot of the administrative space. Both of those. So when that building loses power, both of those come up to speed. And in the event we had July 13th, both of those came up to speed. Both of them ran exactly the way they were supposed to. But what we learned about a week later was when we did our routine test that we do on those generators weekly or bi-weekly or
monthly.
Well, it was scheduled to happen. Well, the old one, the 1982 version, although it ran flawlessly, when we went to start it, it wouldn't start a week later. And I think I told the committee that we determined that there was a component that, even though the unit itself is extremely well maintained, it's in great condition, parts are obsolete. We were lucky to find, say, a commodity component to replace this thing that went out. So we are actually going to look at replacing that one in the original one in the next budget. We're hoping to be able to do that. The thing we did do as part of the safety building project, we wanted to have a third level of kind of backup for that building.
Right.
We did a quick connect for the electrical service. So what happened when that generator wouldn't start, we immediately brought a generator in on a trailer. Don't know if somebody's going to hit a power pole and lose service to the building. And they're able to connect up in less than a couple of hours. Otherwise, if we wouldn't have that quick connect, it's like a 8 to 10 hour job to hardwire in a
cable. Okay.
So there's some level of backup.
You did report that to us at our last meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, thank you.
Anything else?
Oh, I know. One more thing, Mr. Chairman. Budget's going to be introduced by the county exec to the full board on October 6th.
Okay.
So typically, we'll have that following Monday, which would be the 12th, would be when the committee would take up the public works budget. I wanted to make you aware of that.
Yeah, Jim and I talked about that.
One little wrinkle, and I don't think you were in here yet. I talked to Andy to find out when his meeting is, because planning and development is a part of public works. Their meeting is the 12th, which would be the 14th, that Wednesday, after our meeting. So if we can move the budget meeting to the 19th, we can cover.
Well, I've got a question, because does planning and development's budget come to this? It does. Okay.
Yeah.
So that changed.
It does now.
Last year, last time. Okay.
In the last 2 years, when we had this kind of a meeting, they met before our budget meeting, so it wasn't an issue. But this year, things got flip-flopped.
So we were thinking the 19th.
So we talked about that 2 minutes before you walked in. So
good.
Nick is
fine. Still gives us plenty of time. Yeah.
Well, then we'd be looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Grady, seconded by Supervisor Frederick. You the governance?
Aye.
Liddy?
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.